Bibles with me, please, to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 is where we'll begin this morning. So good to be with y'all this morning. Couple of personal announcements. As I said last Sunday, this last week was a big week for us in multiple ways. And if y'all hadn't heard, just to make sure we're on the same page, we did end up signing the contract for the house, and God willing, we'll plan to move in 8 to 9 months and are very excited about that. But that is nothing in comparison to the news that we are expecting a baby girl in October. And we are just thrilled to pieces. And she already has us wrapped around her little finger. And I know that God's blessed us so richly already. And are so much looking forward to that occasion. This morning, moving on to our focus this morning. I recognize most of you, but there's a few faces I don't recognize, meaning you're probably either invited by one of the members here or by one of the door hangers. And as the door hanger announced, that's what I'm going to follow this morning. We're going to talk about the love of God. Let me explain to you why we chose this topic. As a congregation this year, we are looking at the theme derived from 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, of seeking, knowing, and serving God. And our desire and our efforts from multiple fronts are seeking, knowing, and serving God more fully. And as the elders and I discussed, we recognize there's many others in Louisville who are seeking, and we would like to help you on that search, help you to come to know God, help you to come to see Him more fully. So back in January, we had a special service where we looked at the grace of God, concluding that God's grace relates to God's faith, through the faith that we then have. This morning, what we're going to do is indeed talk about the love of God. Now, the love of God is perhaps to our culture the quintessential quality of God. If you had to fill in the sentence, God is, probably most people would say God is love. 100% true. What I really want to do this morning is this. I want to answer this question. How does the love of God relate to the severity of God? God certainly is a God of love. But God is also a God of severity. And for us to fully understand our God, we need to fully see the moral nature of our God. And normally, whenever we talk about the love of God, the biggest hindrance and question that always comes up is, well, if God's a God of love, how can He also be a God of judgment? I don't think these two ideas are opposed or contradictory in any way. But on the surface, they can certainly seem opposed. How does the Bible provide for us a biblical and holistic view of our God? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do three things. I'm going to briefly tell you my assumptions, the assumptions I make coming into this lesson. We're then going to talk about the twofold moral nature of our God, and finally bring these together by talking about how the love and the severity of God relate together to give us a more complete image of our God. So let me very briefly begin by telling you my assumptions. There are three things that I assume going into this lesson. Now, we can sit down and talk about any of these. These are conclusions that I have reached at other times, but assumptions I'm making this morning. Number one is this. God exists. I believe that I was personally created by God. I believe that everything that exists was made by God. God exists. Number two is this. We know God through Christ. For us to know our Creator, for us to know our God, we have to know Jesus. We cannot begin to know God without knowing Jesus. And my final assumption is this. We know Christ through Scripture. For us to come to know Christ, we are going to learn about Him through the Word. Through the Holy Word that is inerrant and inspired and given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, we know Christ through the inspired Word of God. We know God through Jesus Christ. How then do we come to know God? Well, again, for us to answer the question, how does the wrath of God relate to the love of God? How does the severity of God relate to the graciousness of God? Where are we going to have to look? Well, for us to know God, we're going to have to look to Jesus. For us to get to know Jesus, we're going to have to look to the Scripture. So I think we can reasonably conclude together we're going to go to the Scripture this morning. For us to figure out the nature of God, for us to understand who God is, we're going to go to the Scripture. So let's begin. What is God's moral nature? Now, all of us have a nature, right? Have y'all ever met somebody that they're just mean? I mean, down to their core, they have vinegar in their blood and they are mean. There was a few years ago, there was this little girl. She was about 7 years old and she was shorter than I am, actually. She was about this tall. That little thing was as mean as anything you'd ever met. Her grandmother would tell me she has vinegar in her veins, and she did. I mean, that was her nature. She was just mean. Then there was another little girl. She was a couple years older, about 9. She was a lot taller. She was the sweetest thing you'd ever met. She would just come up to you, "Hi, Mr. Cummings, how are you doing this morning?" And she was just so sweet. And then this other little girl would come up, and oh, she was just mean. We have a nature to us. And I think we recognize we as humans have a nature. We have a nature that relates to good and evil, a nature that relates to right and wrong, a nature that relates to kindness and meanness. What is God's nature? Is our God like that short little thing that bled vinegar? Or is our God like that tall one that was just sweet as could be? What is the moral nature of our God? Well, again, we're going to have to go to Scripture to find this out. God is not going to just personally tell us how He is. We're going to have to go to the Scripture to find out how our God is. Now, from a biblical view, God has a twofold nature. Now, this is not a contradictory nature. This is a twofold nature. Now, I'm going to resolve this at the end of the lesson, but I want us to understand God's relationship to morality is twofold. Let's read Romans 11, verse 22. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in His kindness. Otherwise, you too would be cut off. Do you notice what Romans 11, 22 tells us? Note both the kindness and the severity of God. Here's our God's moral nature. God is both loving and severe. God is a God of both love and severity. That is the biblical view of our Creator. Our Creator is indeed loving, but He's also severe. For us to come to see God, for us to come to understand the nature of God, we have to see God fully. If we focus only on the love of God and get rid of the severity of God, we will never truly see God. If we focus only on the severity of God and forget the love of God, we will never see God. For us, we must understand we are all a product of our upbringing. If you ask most Americans, God is, probably finish the sentence, in your mind you even said God is love. My guess, if you were to ask the Puritans back in 1700s, 1700s, they wouldn't have said God is love. Probably they would have said God is wrath. Both are true. But both are only a partial understanding of God. Focusing exclusively on the love of God ignores the severity of God. Focusing exclusively on the severity of God ignores the love of God. We must see them both. Well, let's tease these apart. I want you to go with me to Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, the psalmist provides a beautiful praise of God. And as we go through this text, I want you to note verses that relate both to God's love and also to God's severity. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity. Who forgives all your iniquity and heals your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies you with good. so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now let's stop there. What are the qualities of God so far? God is loving. God is gracious. He crowns us with love. He forgives iniquity. That is indeed true. But let's notice the other part of God, verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Do you notice that both God is a God of anger and a God of love? Yes, God is merciful and gracious, but God is also angry. God is a God who works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. God is both just and forgiving. God is both angry and loving. That is our God. What if our God was only a God of severity? What if the only quality that he had was that he was a severe God? There would be no forgiveness. There would be no mercy. There would be no hope. There would only be dread. What if God was only a God of love? There would be no justice. There would be no righteousness. There would be no goodness. Because God would just accept everything and everybody. No. God is just and loving. Well, I want us to take each of these qualities and understand them just a bit more fully. Let's focus first of all on the severity of God. Before we get to the love of God, let's focus a bit more on the severity of God. Now, I'm going to make the claim that God's holiness leads to his severity. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. The book of Leviticus was essentially the law book of ancient Israel. And God, in this book, through Moses, revealed the rationale for each of his commandments. Let's notice Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. Here God says, "You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine." God is holy. And here's what God's holiness means. God's holiness means that he is separate from all sin. God is holy. Isn't it wonderful that we have a holy God? A God who is separate from this world. I do not want to serve a God of this world. I do not want to serve an idol of this realm. The gods of this world lead to selfishness and conceit and anger and war and death. Every idol of the age has done it. That is not our God. The God who made us, the God who created us, is holy, set apart from all sin. But what does this holy nature lead to? Ultimately, his holiness motivates his severity. Go with me to Psalm 5. In Psalm 5, the psalmist ties out for us the connection between the nature and severity of God. Psalm 5, verse 4. "For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." Why does God hate evildoers? Why does he destroy those who speak lies? Because of verse 4. "You are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you." Here's the picture. God's holiness leads to his severity. And aren't we thankful that our God is holy? For our God to be holy, it means he can't dwell with sin. He can have nothing to do with it. And because of the reality of this world, the reality of sin, God must separate sin from him. In his wrath, he must separate sin. Doesn't injustice burn you up? Just burn you up. I'm a child of the 90s. And when I was growing up, that was the O.J. Simpson trial. I'm too young to remember it. But people who are 10, 20 years older than me, they still get mad anytime that case comes up. Why? We hate injustice. We hate it. It makes our blood boil. When we see those who've done wrong and then nothing bad happens to them, there's something in our moral nature that says that's not right. Just as love should be in our nature, God has instilled within our very moral fiber justice. This justice speaks to the holiness of God. God doesn't want anything to do with sin. Sin leads to death. Sin leads to broken families. It leads to broken lives. It leads to utter brokenness. God wants nothing to do with it. God can have nothing to do with it because our God is holy. And because he is holy, he pours out his wrath on anything that resembles that sin because he is going to be a holy God. So why is God wrathful? Why is God severe? Let me go back to that little 5-year-old girl. She was mean to her grandmother. She'd throw her toys. She'd scratch her. She'd hit her. She'd cuss her. Not a one of us is smiling, right? To see a 5-year-old little girl doing that, someone who should be cute and loving, to be cussing and scratching and violent. She was wrathful. Why was she wrathful? Why was she? Was it because she was holy and wanted nothing to do with sin? No. No, not at all. The treatment of her grandmother was motivated not by holiness, but by anger. By a selfish anger. We must see our God properly. God is truly a God of severity. God is a God of wrath and a God of judgment. But it is not because God has mood swings like that little 5-year-old. It's not because our God just pours out his wrath one day just because he wants to. This little 5-year-old could be so sweet at times. There were a handful of days that she would just be the sweetest little thing. But then there were other days she was a little demon. It was dictated by her mood. There was nothing purposeful. There was nothing willful. It was just her moods led her at times to be mean. It led her to be angry. Why is our God a God of wrath? It's because he is good and he wants nothing to do with sin. Why is our God a God of judgment? It's because he is holy and wants us to be in that holiness. It is tied to the very nature of our God. And for us to view our God properly, we must see this. God is not wrathful, and he is not a God of judgment, simply by the dictates of his mood, but it is by the dictates of his holiness. Well, what about the love of God? Ryan, you've talked a lot about severity, talked a lot about wrath. What about love? I thought this lesson was entitled The Love of God. Well, it is. But for us to see our God fully, we must see both sides. Let's talk about love. Yes, God is love. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. John, the great apostle of love. He tells us in 1 John 4, the sermon last Sunday morning, if you weren't able to be here, is all about love. And I analyzed this passage. 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. And ultimately, what does this mean? God is selfless and He's kind. God is love. Have y'all ever met, especially a child, that they're just so loving? I mean, they're just so loving. There's a little girl about probably 8 or 9 years old. Every time she'd see you, she'd just make you feel good. It's love. That is certainly a part of our God's moral nature. God is loving. God is kind. But what does this love lead to? Remember, God's holiness leads to His severity, but His love motivates His grace. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In our case, God's love leads to something far higher than affection. It leads to something far greater than emotional fulfillment. It leads to grace. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you've been saved. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when you were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. What motivated God's mercy? What motivated His grace? It was love. A common illustration I've used. Christmas morning, my parents would always get my sister and me gifts. That was an act of grace. Why did I get gifts? Was it because I was so great the year before? My sister and me had never bickered. We never argued. We were perfect little angels. I was. But this wasn't the reason. The reason was they loved us. Why were there presents under the tree? It's because they loved us. Why has God given us of His grace? It's because He loves us. So here's the picture. God's love motivates His grace. God's love leads to His mercy. So now let's understand our God. We've talked about the twofold nature, but here's what I want to do. I want to bring them together. I want to see how the love and the severity relate to give us one full, complete image of our God. Well, let's go back through and see our God's moral nature. Remember, here is our God. Our God has a twofold moral nature, meaning He has a twofold nature when it comes to right and wrong. He is not always forgiving. He is not always judging. He is both love and He is holy. Just as surely as our God is love, He is holy. Just as surely as our God is holy, He is love. We cannot ignore either. Have you ever heard sermons where the preacher completely ignores the love of God? I've met preachers who I truly do not think they had ever given a sermon on their life on the love, the grace, the mercy of God. And these congregations live in constant fear of hell, live in constant fear of destruction, and just almost tiptoe around our God as though He's just this judge up in heaven just waiting to put the hammer down. That is not the God that I serve. The God that I serve is a God of love, but He is also a God who is holy. On the other side of the spectrum, what happens when we only see the love of God? We ignore the greatest problem that has ever plagued mankind, the problem of sin. And because of that ignorance, it will lead to our destruction. For us to see God fully, we must see Him as both a God of love and also a God of holiness. Well, what again motivates each? Love leads to grace. Holiness leads to severity. Because God is holy, He will be severe when it comes to sin. But because God is loving, He will be gracious. and lead to forgiveness? How do these relate? How does the love of God relate to the holiness of God? How does the severity of God relate to the graciousness of God? Well, let me go back to my syllogism at the beginning of the sermon. God exists. We know God through Jesus. We know Jesus through the Scriptures. Here's what I want to do. I want to go to the Scriptures to see Jesus so that we may then see God. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to read verse 6 down through verse 9. Romans 5, verse 6 through 9. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. One will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9 one more time. But God shows His love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. Where do we see these come together? It's in the cross of Jesus Christ. It is only in the cross that we see both the love and the holiness, both the grace and the severity of God come together. Through the cross, we see our God fully. Through the cross, we see fully the moral nature of our God. Because what does the cross tell us? The cross tells us that our God is so holy that He poured out His wrath on His own Son. He couldn't have anything to do with sin. God can't have anything to do with sin. It's against His very nature. It's against His nature. All of us have different taste buds, right? And there are certain tastes that you just can have nothing to do with, right? This one's strange for me, but I just don't like cheese. And it's not that just I don't like it. There are some types of cheese I can't have a thing to do with. It's against my very nature. And anytime I try to put that nasty old block of cheese on a sandwich and eat it, oh, I mean, it just, all of us have things like that. It's just against our nature. Oh, that's our God when it comes to sin. He can't have a thing to do with it. He can have nothing to do with it. So He gave us His Son. But where does the love come in? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved that He gave His Son. Through the cross we see the love. Because here's what God says. I am a God who am so holy, I can have nothing to do with sin. I am a God so holy and so perfect and so righteous that by my very nature, sin cannot be a part of me. But I am a God so loving that I am going to give of even my own Son that you may be a part of my holiness. I don't want to pour out my wrath on you. I don't want to pour my judgment out on you. Don't make me do it. Come to me through my Son. Come to me through Jesus. Does our God love us? One of the questions on the flyer was this: does God love me? Look at the cross of Jesus Christ and ask yourself, does God love me? God loved me. God loved Ryan David Cummings so much that He gave of His own Son so that He may not have to pour His wrath out on me. If I die in sin, that's what God's going to have to do. It's because if I die sinful, God can't have anything to do with me. God's holy. But God loved me so much. He gave of His own Son. so that he may give grace, so that we may come to him. That is our God. For us to see our God, where do we have to look? We have to look to the cross. When we look to the cross, we see the severity, we see the graciousness, because of the holiness and because of the love, which leads us back to the full picture of our God. So let's answer our question. How does the wrath and the love of God relate? Well, it's this. The cross shows that God is so loving that he gave his own son in order that we may be forgiven, so that we may dwell in his holiness, escaping his severity. Does God love me? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And when I look at the cross of Jesus Christ, I see the wrath that could have been poured out on me. But I see so fully the love that he did pour out on me, because he gave me his own son. Get out your songbooks, please. There was one question on the sheet that I wasn't able to get to this week. And next week, what I plan on talking about is bad things and good people. Why do bad things happen to good people? Is God really a God of love if he lets all this evil happen? I mean, looking at all the bad things that have happened to me in my life, is God really that loving? Is God really that gracious? I could have taken another 40 minutes and tried to answer that question, but I figured y'all would want to get to lunch, and so we're going to answer it next week. But I at least want to propose this for a temporary solution. How dare we say that our God does not care about the problem of evil when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ? How dare we ask our God if he loves us, if his providence is with us, if his graciousness is over us, when he gave of his own son? I'm already a parent. My daughter's not yet born, but she certainly lives. And already I'm starting to see a child just steals your heart. Right after the ultrasound, we went to buy her first little dress and her first little pink booties. And oh, they were cute. I love my little daughter even though she's not yet in my arms. How much more does our holy God love his only son, whom he sent to this earth, that we may live with him? God is holy. He can't have anything to do with sin. So here's what he did. He sent of his own son that we may receive grace, motivated by his love, that we may dwell with him. God loves us so much. He loves us so much. If anyone needs to respond to the Lord's invitation to come forward and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, to accept the love of God in your life, to accept the cross of Jesus, and to be transformed in his image, come forward while we stand and while we sing.